The third chapter of Colossians is where we are this morning. That sounds a little foreign to you. We have spent so many months in the first two chapters. Felt kind of good to finally make a little progress there, but I'm not in a hurry. I don't know, you may be, but I'm not in a hurry. I look back over the latest computer that I have there at the house, and I have all of the notes in that, of course, and I looked at all of the books of the Bible that we have studied through in the last 10 years. And I tell you what, I just got excited about it. All the places we've been. And so that's where we are this morning. We're into the next book, Colossians chapter 3. I want to read the first two verses of chapter 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. In chapters 1 and 2, if you've been with us, you can go back and read them if you haven't, we hear Paul tell us, he establishes who Christ is. And also he describes what Christ does for the person who believes in him. And then we spent quite a few weeks where Paul described the challenges that face those who are in Christ Jesus, largely with false teachers, if you were with us, that kind of thing. Well, this morning, then, what happens as we turn to chapter 3, Paul says, ready, break. Now, if that's a foreign phrase to you, you've never been in a football huddle. Those of us who have been know that well. The play's been called. Everybody knows their assignment. Ready, break, do it, is what he's saying here. That's what he begins to say in chapter 3. If you have no football background, then no doubt you ran races at school or in the neighborhood, and ready, set, go means the same thing, all right? And we could go on and on this morning with the scriptures, but what Paul is telling us this morning is you know who Christ is, you know what he's done for you, you know how to deal with the challenges that face you, now go do it. Get up with it and go do it. In chapter 2, I hope you notice there are two individuals, only two, that are listed there as we read through those two verses. One is Christ, the other is you, and that you is a generic you. You're going to find out all about you this morning. You're going to find things about you that you didn't know. That's where we're going this morning. We're going to look, first of all, at defining and describing you. We're going to look then at directing you, and finally, the destiny of you. That's where we're going this morning. In verse 1, Paul says, if then you. If then you. And I have to confess to you, I spent a lot of hours with that first two-letter word, if. I didn't know if was such a complicated word. First of all, to show you what little I do know about it, I thought it was a preposition. With all the schooling I've had and all the teaching I've done through the years, it's not a preposition, it's a conjunction. And it's a conjunction in the Greek as well. Now, in the Greek, it is the Greek letters EI is what it looks like in the English. If is mentioned 508 times in the New Testament. You count them after this church today. Don't count them during the church service if you doubt my research. Now, at that point then, there is a disagreement as to what if means in the New Testament. Some are convinced it means since. Since as in a conclusion is drawn from something that is certain. It means since. Others disagree with that, that it means sense, and they insist that it means an assumption that may only be portrayed as true, as factual. The fact being you have been raised with Christ would be how they would look at this. I don't know, all right? I just know apparently it's a very complex word, but it carries a lot of meaning for what Paul is saying then. If then you have been raised with Christ. So as we look at this morning, the key thing to understand, to get to, is who is you? That's one of the two individuals in this passage of Scripture, Christ and you. If then you, and that's a very important question. It drives this whole teaching that Paul is issuing to us this morning. But an even more important question is you. That's the important question. Is the you that Paul is talking about this morning you? And that's where we're going to be focusing our thoughts. The you Paul is addressing is true believers. That's who he has been working with as he writes this letter to the Colossians. The you that Paul is addressing about are folks who are not just religious. They just haven't just joined Jesus. They are enjoined with Jesus, and they know him in the free pardon of sin. They are true believers. And he's been telling us that all the way up until now. In this one this morning, true believers are those who have been raised with Christ. He says in verse 1, we just read it. But in chapter 2, verse 20, he told us about if with Christ you have died. And then in chapter 2 and verse 12, have been buried with Christ. Were dead and made alive together with him. Forgiven your trespasses, the record of your debt is canceled, he said in chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. He also describes in chapter 2 and verse 6 that a true believer has received Christ Jesus the Lord. And then in chapter 1 and verse 25, those God chose to make the word of God fully known, revealing the mystery to. Those are true believers, a description of them. And then finally in chapter 1 and verse 27, he said, the riches of the glory of the mystery which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What he's been doing up until now is describing who one who is raised with Christ is. All the same descriptions of the same person. That's what he's been telling us about. Well, my big question now, I hope yours is as well, is how does someone become you? How do you get to be you? Because that's the important part of this verse. If then you have been raised with Christ, how do you get to be you? Only by being raised with Christ. So the question could be this morning, have you been raised with Christ? And you have or you haven't. And you say, well, I've been going to church all my life. Big deal. Congratulations. That doesn't make you a you. That will not get you where you want to go or maybe think you're going. You have to be raised with Christ to be a you. So then if you have been raised with Christ, is the only way to be who Paul is talking about this morning. Everyone who is you has been raised with Christ. You see, Christ Jesus came, the very Son of God, God in the flesh, born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. His destiny was the cross, and he went to the cross and died for the sins of those who believe. His blood was shed. He was buried. He died. He didn't swoon. He died. And he was put in a tomb and was raised on the third day. Now, what Paul is saying then, if then you have been raised with Christ, you see, you and I were born into this world dead in trespasses and sins. You, as good a person as you may be, and we've got a lot of good people here today, as much as you think you have done, and we've got a lot of people who've done a lot of things, a lot of good things. Folks, if you have not been raised with Christ, then that's all you got. You're just a good person doing good things. So this is a unique description. We were born dead. And then we were born again. We were raised with Christ. Do you get it? We were born. And by the way, let me say quickly here, eternity began at that instant. At that first breath that you took. At that whack on the gluteus maximus that you may have received. And life sprang forth. You were alive for 9 months, we know that. But now you are breathing air, okay? At that time, eternity began for you. Now that's a strange thought. We say, well, no, wait a minute, you're leaving some stuff out here. There's got to be death in there somewhere. No. Eternity began when we were born, and there is a change, but it's merely a change of residence. Do we get it? We're going to get into this more. Maybe it'll come to you in just a minute. So everyone who has been raised with Christ was raised from death to life. And that's what happened to you. And so if he is talking to you this morning as the you have been raised with Christ and you are alive in Christ. And notice, if you will, that being raised is based on an action applied to. It is not something that you and I can do. The raising is not by our effort. It is by His action. We've got to get a hold of that. You can't do enough. You have to be raised with Him. It's the only way. The life that results from being raised, life, that rebirth, that being born again, is both abundant and eternal. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. And we also know the promise of eternal life. So life began when you were raised with Him, and it was both abundant and eternal. And neither of those can be attained or gained by your effort. There's nothing you can do. But still, many insist on trying to raise themselves. Most of the world's population, historically and currently, about 7.5 billion people, are trying to get raised by what they do. It's called religion. And as we established, not last week, week before, that everybody believes something. Even the atheists and agnostics who pridefully say, well, I don't believe in God. That's their religion. That's what they believe. And so all humanity, historically and currently, are seeking to raise themselves to attain abundant life and eternal life by practicing a religion of some kind or some sort. Raised with Christ is different, though. Raised with Christ is a permanent change. Literally, old things pass away, all things become new. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, when he says all things become new, he means all things. And what happens there, the record becomes new, the reality becomes new, and the residence becomes new. All things become new, and you can put everything into those three categories. First of all, the record of who you were no longer exists. Huh? Yeah, one. Do you get it, folks? The record of who you were no longer exists. You and I were born into sin. We practiced sin prolifically. And that record of our sin wiped out. The old has become new. The new you is not responsible for what the old you did, is the idea. Your sins are forgiven. Forgotten. Put as far as the east is from the west, we learn over in Psalms in the Old Testament. But also, the reality of you is new. For now, you are with Christ. If you have been raised with Christ, you are with Christ. That's the reality of you. And it now, the who you are in Christ controls the actions and the life that you live and determines everything that happens in your life. Because you see, your Heavenly Father plans and permits all that takes place in your life. And you say, I don't think I can get a hold of that. Relax. Don't worry about it. It's His doing. Because the reality of you has changed and the residence has changed. Now you are raised with Christ. Where did Christ go after he was raised? Seated at the right hand of the Father. And so if we are raised with Christ, then that means this temporary place where we live now is going to change. And it's going to change, and your residence is guaranteed. You have reservations. Have you made them? Or has he made them for you, might be a more accurate way to say it. Your residence now is in his heaven, where you will experience life in Christ for all eternity. So you see, being raised with Christ is a big deal. That question, is the you, becomes all important now, doesn't it? Because everything changes. That said, raised with Christ means that you have a new record, a new reality, and a new residence for all eternity. And eternity, as I said a while ago, begins when you and I were born. Let's look now at the directing you. Directing you. I hope you noticed as we read through this that there are two commands given here. Two commands given to those who are raised with Christ. If you are not raised with Christ this morning, get out your phone and start texting or whatever you want to do. Go to sleep. Sleep for a while. With all due respect, I want you to not be as you came this morning, but what we're going to be talking about going forward right now does not apply to you if you have not been raised with Christ. I respect you. Thank you for coming and being a part of this body this morning and joining with us in gathering, but where we're going now does not apply to you until you are raised with Christ. Two commands are given here. Seek and set. Seek and set. These are activities of the soul. Now, you and I are triune beings. We are body, soul, and spirit. God is a triune being. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We were created in His image and after His likeness. So don't nuance that too much, okay? But we are three, body, soul, and spirit. And Paul is writing by anointed by the Holy Spirit, and he's dealing with activities of the soul. Our soul is made up of our mind, our will, and our emotions. The physical you is simply systems that are functioning. You are circulating, you are digesting, you are eliminating, and just stuff, okay? In fact, we can keep the physical you, not you, but the generic, forget it, okay? We can keep the physical person alive endlessly, it seems like. We all know of tragedies where a person's brain ceases to function, but they are left on life support, and that can go on as long as there's electricity, all right? So the physical you is not the real you. I wish we'd get over that. We'd probably spend a whole lot less money on trying to make the not real you look good, wouldn't we? The essence of us is our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. And what Paul is saying here are expectations of him who raised us, not options. He's not dealing with options here for those who are raised with Christ. So once you have been raised with Christ, all actions and activities are directed now by him who raised you, not by us. You'll need to get your mind around that a little bit. Stay with me. But he is commanding, the Holy Spirit is commanding, the activities of the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions. And first he says, the first command is seek the things that are above. If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. Seek by inquiring, investigating, searching, desiring, anticipating, focusing. That is the seeking. And the what we are seeking, he clearly says, is above. What you and I may be tempted, guilty of, I pray not, is to seeking things that are here below. Do you see the command? Seek the things that are above. And the second command in verse 2, set your minds, soul, mind, will, and emotion, set your minds on things that are above. So seek the things that are above. Set your minds on things that are above. The mission, passion of your life, if you have been raised with Christ, is to be things that are above. Hang with me. We'll get more detail on that in just a minute. Paul said this so well in Philippians 3:10, I think it is. I get, when I read that and listen to Paul there, it seems like he is somewhere else. He says this there, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. He just seems to be caught up. And he said, really, all I care about, all I'm seeking, all I'm searching, all I'm setting my mind on, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. The passion of your soul, your mind, will, and emotions, is on things above if you have been raised with him. Getting a little bit itchy, isn't it? You see, you've got one of two kinds of minds, and I do too, okay? Either or. You either have a carnal mind, or you have a mind that is the mind of a raised one. Only two kinds of minds. A carnal mind or the mind of a raised one, raised with Christ. They're different. And I keep the hate to keep hammering. No, I don't, okay? I want to keep hammering it home. There is no such thing as a carnal Christian. I heard it all my life. That cannot be. You cannot take a person who is raised with Christ and he or she has a carnal mind. It can't be. But those are the two options. So this morning, you either have a carnal mind or you have the mind of Christ, one who is raised with him. You see, there was an obvious transformation of all that you are, all that you have, all that you hope to be when you were raised with Christ. The orientation of your life became the things above. Your passion, your perspective, your hope, your goals are no longer focused on the here and now. And I know some of you are just doing a twisty right now. Remember how as a kid you'd turn around real fast and people would turn you around and then they'd let you go and then you do this, you know? Some of you are doing a twisty right now because you're a little bit dizzy because this sounds so foreign to you. Do you want to read it again? Did I read it accurately? Isn't this what he said? Set your mind on things above. Seek with your mind, will, and emotions the things that are above. Don't wait to heaven. It's now. It's now. It's living now like this. The things of earth will grow strangely dim. The things of earth will grow strangely dim, that old song tells us. Folks, that has to be your experience today. More and more, you're developing the attitude of, I don't care. I don't give a rip. You think, well, that's horrible thinking. No, it's not. It's the thinking of you who have been raised with Christ. Set your mind on things above. Seek what is above. No longer are the things of this world the passion of your life. Test time. How you doing? Shut your eyes, talk to yourself, and ask yourself this question. What is the passion of my life? What gets me up in the morning and kicking? What do I think about throughout the day? Where am I investing my time and talent and treasure? Not judging, just asking. That's the passion of your life. Well, I got caught up with this. If we are to seek the things that are above and set our minds on things above, my first question, well, what is above? I'd like to know that. Okay, if given a command, you need to know where you're going, right? So, what are the things above? Well, he told us here where Christ is. All right? We know that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. We've already established that. So certainly Christ is above. And the Father is because Jesus is seated at his right hand. Philippians 4:8 tells us, helps us a little bit here, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, think, mind again, on these things. All right? And all those descriptors are, whatever part of grammar those would be, those are all or have to do with who Christ is. Because he is all of those things. He is certainly true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. There's a whole lot more, but that gets us started. That helps a little bit. And what the mind dwells on, the life lives. You with me? Whatever your mind dwells on is the life that you're living. Well, also, other things that are, truth is above. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, didn't he? So truth has to be above. Life is above. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So life is above. We also know, and again I emphasize this, you get two kinds of love with life when you are raised with Christ. You get the abundant life, all that you need and more to give, to live out the days that you have on this earth, and you get eternal life. Two types of life. Okay? Abundant life just becomes more abundant, I guess, is another way of saying it. But he promised that. The Word is above. We know that the Word endures forever. When we studied through 1 Peter, we found that out. The Word of God endures forever. We know from our study through Revelation that praise and worship is above. Praise and worship of God. We know that love is above, for God is love, and love endures forever. So we know also that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all of whom we met very directly, distinctly, when we studied through Revelation. They were all there, weren't they? Especially that last chapter or two where we studied about heaven. We found that God the Father is there. He's the light. We found out that the Lamb, who is the lamp, is there. And then we saw that the Holy Spirit is there. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one, one God in three, the person of the triune God is above. And you know what I caught when I got to this point? If we set our minds on things that are above, what we're doing is setting our minds on Him. When I say heaven, test time, when I say heaven, I'm guessing you're going to answer with the splendor of heaven, the perfectness of heaven, the glory of heaven, seeing all those who I've lost, who are in. I think you're going to go to people, places, and things rather than to the person of Jehovah God. But I think what Paul is telling us here, you can disagree if you want to, when we set our minds on things above, we are setting our mind on the person of God. Finally, this morning, let's look at the destiny of you. The destiny of you. Every person ever born, I don't know how many billions that would be throughout history. They tell us it's about 7.5 billion again at this time. So let's just deal with the people that are here now. The others have already discovered their destiny. But every person has a destiny. And destiny is determined by who you are. Whether you are raised with Christ or whether you are not raised with Christ. Only two options. Only two destinies exist. Eternal life or eternal death. Oh, I know a lot of people. I can take you by their houses. And they say, well, I don't get into that religion stuff. Good job there, Bubba. Okay, I don't get into that religion stuff. I'm just going to live my life, and when it's over, when I die, it's over. Oh, contraire. Because there is eternal life, there is also eternal death. Two destinies. Eternal life or eternal death, and even more precisely, heaven or the lake of fire. You say, what about hell? Hell is cast into the lake of fire, the scripture tells us. So two destinies exist, heaven or the lake of fire. One of those destinies is yours, and only one. Once you enter either one, You can never go to the other. If your home is heaven, if that's where you're destined, the lake of fire is out of the picture. Yet tragically, my friend, if your destiny is the lake of fire, your destiny can never be heaven. It is eternal and it is permanent. God says so. So who you are now determines where you will be then. If you are raised with Christ now, you will be with Him then. If you are not raised with Christ, you will never be with Him. Is there anything more important than that? Can you think of anything? I mean, the Cardinals canceling the season or whatever, is that more important? Maybe the stock market crashing? Well, surely COVID-19 virus is more important. Folks, there is nothing more important than being raised with Christ. How can you know which destiny you have? Let me give you some helps quickly. Do you have assurance in your heart of hearts, the very core of your being? Do you have the assurance that you have eternal life in heaven? If you have that assurance was not developed by you, regardless of how many study courses you've had. That assurance can only be there because of the Holy Spirit who lives within you provides that assurance. Doubt is a big indicator of who, if whether or not you're raised. Do you see? Do you have assurance in that innermost you that you have eternal life in heaven? Does the Holy Spirit bear witness with your spirit, is what's happening there, that you have eternal life? Do you experience the abundant life now in Christ? You see, if you have the abundant life now in Christ, you have eternal life when you die. Because you can't have the abundant life without having eternal life. And if you have eternal life, you had abundant life. You with me? All right. So do you live the abundant life now? In Christ Jesus. Is your mind seeking and is it set on things above? Does that occupy your thoughts through the day? Are you a categorical Christian? You know what that is? Well, I've got a category for my job. I've got a category for family. I've got a category for recreation. And oh yeah, I got a category for church. That's categorical Christianity. Antithetical to the New Testament, by the way. Lordship means one package, one category in Christ. That's the New Testament definition of salvation. Lordship. You see? You say, well, I won't get anything done. You're getting close. You're getting close. Now, we have to eat. We have to somehow grow or provide the food that we have. We have to have a place to live, those kind of things. But they are not the focus. They can't be the focus. They can't be the God. There is room for only one God in your life. Only one. My question to us this morning is, who is that? These questions that I just asked you are contingent on being raised with Christ. That's what drives the whole issue. You are, or you're not, raised with Christ. Now, if you have been raised with Christ, you experience that abundant life. You know that eternal life is guaranteed. There's nobody or anything that can take it from you. If you have been raised with Christ, your destiny is heaven. The abode of God, where God is heaven. Eternal life will be in His presence, in His heaven. In your new eternal residence, there is eternal light. We studied this when we were in Revelation here some weeks ago, months ago, if you'll recall. There in the last part when John is seeing heaven, in your new eternal residence, there is eternal light, and there is no darkness there. Did you get that when we were there? There's no darkness there. Now, that is so foreign to us, we can't even get a hold of it. Because we know what darkness is, don't we? Well, forget it. You won't know in all eternity. There is no darkness there. The glory of God gives the light, and its lamp is the Lamb. Quoting from Revelation. Now, those whose destiny is not heaven, who are not raised with Christ, are destined for the lake of fire. And that is eternal death. The lake of fire is a place of eternal pain, experienced in eternal darkness, in association with only that which is perfectly evil. I don't know about you. I've not been that successful in buying houses through the years as we've moved around and what have you. But I can make a good decision on this one, can't you? I see the good place from the bad place. There is a difference in every regard. In heaven, Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. The infinite realities of all God is the environment of heaven. In the lake of fire is Satan, the false prophet, and the Antichrist. The environment of the lake of fire is pure evil, pure darkness, and pure pain for all eternity. Now, I said there's only two places. There's only two destinies. And it's an either or. So what is your mind focused on this morning? That's what Paul was commanding, wasn't it? Seek and set. Seek and set the activity of our mind, our will, and our emotions. What is your mind focused on this morning? Can we be so bold to report that what you seek indicates where you're headed? Well, nobody walked out, so I guess we can go on. What you seek, folks, and what I seek is where I'm headed. Cut it down to where we live. You see, there's no hint in Scripture that I can live a flesh-oriented, sin-practicing life and go to heaven. Those are, did they make sense? Because if we've been raised with Christ, we are oriented totally different. And the continual habitual practice of our life is going to be like the life of Christ Jesus. A good way to know this morning, if you are saying, well, can you help me know where I am? Yes. I'm just quoting Jesus, so that's a pretty good source, isn't it? A good way to know evidence of is what are you investing your time, talent, and treasure on now? That's a good indication. What rocks your boat? What starts the motor? What are you living for? All questions indicating where your heart is focused now. Are you laying up treasure in heaven through investing in that which is eternal, that which will be in heaven? You see, the idea is, if you're laying up treasures in heaven, then whatever you're laying up has to be those things above. Get it? The economy of heaven, we've already looked at that. Is that where you're laying up treasures? Or are you laying up treasures on earth? Can I tell you, can I give you a good stock tip this morning? Huh? Here it is. Everything that you are laying up for treasures on earth are going to be destroyed. Thieves are going to break in and steal it. It's either going to rust or rot. It's going to die. It's going to be lost when the market drops, however you want to say it today. And if I fail to mention your treasure today or what's going to happen to it, don't use my finite list here this morning. You plug your treasure in, whatever, it's going to be have a demise similar to these. As I said to you on a number of occasions, I've never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse yet. Whatever you're laying up treasure for is not, I guarantee it, take it to the bank, going to follow you past that grave. Guarantee it. Only the treasure that you lay up in heaven. You want to know something, folks? I'm talking to those who have been raised with Christ now. If you're tempted with those trinkets of this life, and they're getting to be awfully important to you, God is coming to get it. Not to take him for himself, but to get rid of it from your life. He's a jealous God. He will not share worship and praise and adoration with anything or anyone. He's coming to get it. Now, I'm not a prophet. I'm not the son of a prophet. I'm not a sensational voice to try to work up your emotions in uncertain times. I'm not an agent of fear and doom. I'm simply an individual who proclaims what God's word says. I didn't make anything up here. I'm not collecting an offering afterwards. That elder over there, this elder here, that one over there. None of us get a dime for what we do here. It's a service that the Lord has called us to. So I don't have a dog in this hunt where I'm going to gain materially from it, nor do they. I am just proclaiming the word of God. Your physical death and mine are certain. Nothing will interfere with your physical death and my physical death unless Jesus Christ comes in the air for the church before you die. This is an exact science. We are alive today. We are going to die tomorrow. I don't mean tomorrow as in August 3rd. It's a fact of life. We have whatever time we're given to be raised with Christ and then to live as one who's raised with Christ. So I come full circle all the way back to the first verse. If then you, is that you, you? Let's pray. Oh, Father,